Wait. Happy Surge Day. It is our birthday, not an anniversary. We don't do anniversaries. We do birthdays. We do birthdays in ministry because when we started way back when, not just 10 years ago, but way back when, most people thought that it was going to be a miracle if we survived the first year. And so we decided if we ever got to the first birthday, we would just celebrate the heck out of it. And ever since then, we decided that had to be a tradition because we're not traditionalists, but we needed to keep that tradition up. That tradition carried over as we got to this portion of the journey here at the church at 434, because all of this road, all the roads since began converging together started back in 1993. First Baptist Church of Winter Springs was born in the heart of some folks that had this idea, this dream to be an outpost of the kingdom of God here in Winter Springs, Florida. Covenant Community Church was born. Started in Lake Mary, moved over to Sanford. We lived in a warehouse for a long, long time. As those roads started kind of traveling together, although we didn't know each other when we started, we became friends along the way, and we began to be familiar with the ministries of both places. And then about 10 years ago, we all came to a crossroads. First Baptist Church of Winter Springs was struggling, but yet there were faithful folks that decided this was worth fighting for. And they stayed, and they kept pouring their life into it and tried to keep figuring out a way how to do ministry and how to survive. Covenant Community Church had been tossed out of the warehouse, not because we were vagrants or bad tenants, but because we didn't really own it. We thought we did, but we didn't own it. After the landlord passed away, his family decided that they didn't like the way he had set things up, and so we were scampering looking for a place to go. So we moved to a storefront, and we were living in a storefront. And Chris Whaley was the interim pastor here at First Baptist Church of Winter Springs. And he said to me one day, he goes, you know, he goes, I'm interim pastor of a church that doesn't have a whole lot of people, but they got buildings. And you have a lot of people, but no building. I'm thinking it could work. We should put these together. And I told him, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. It's never going to work. We met. A month later, we were here. And we decided that we would start a new ministry called the church at 434. So both of those ministries intertwined and became one ministry. And so it's been a long road getting from there to here. No doubt about it. But it's been an incredible road, a good journey. Over the past 10 years here, a lot has happened. Together, we have survived pandemics. We have outgrown the space. We've created new ministries. We've tried new things. We failed at new things. We've tried other new things. Along the way, we have created a streaming video network. We put together what some people have told me is the largest free multimedia Christian resource network in the world. Now, I don't know how you gauge that, but we'll take that. We have a television show that reaches hundreds of thousands of people each week. Go figure. God has blessed us. He's expanded our staff. We've had the good fortune of standing before you and burning the original mortgage note that was on this particular building, which was a big deal, especially to John Bush. If you know John, it got to the point where John was the last guarantor on that mortgage. And so that was a big day for him. He told me, he looked at me, he goes, and I'm off the hook now. I said, yes, you are. And that was great. We also burnt the mortgage on Area 51 that we bought when we were trying to expand and get new space. And so we were able to burn that mortgage. Also, along the way, we were able to repurchase and put back together the original plot of land that was the church here in Winter Springs. They had sold off some of the land to survive for a few years. And so we were able to buy back that 3.5 acres. So the plot that we're on right now, anchored to this piece of ground, is the original plot that the church Winter Springs started in. And now we own it all the way down to the creek. And so we've been able to put that together, and God has worked that out. We have expanded and developed this idea that we've called a space program because we are out of space and we need more space. I'm kind of allergic to building programs, but I like space programs. And what we're trying to do is create the space that will allow us to do the ministry that God has called us to. And so as we've got to the end of last year, some of you remember, we asked you to start stepping up and pledging. And in January, we started this journey that brings us to this day at the end of August. You guys have pledged well over $1 million, probably somewhere close to $1.4 million to help get that done. And so you've been giving toward that. We have been able to put that in the bank, and we've been able to move forward. We're working with Florida Baptist Financial Services. You've seen the plans. They're already out there. If you haven't taken a look, the entire plan set is out there right now, and that is about 95% completed. And Florida Baptist Financial Services has been looking at now, how is that giving coming in? How are people living up to their commitments? Excited to tell you that 85% of you that made commitments are living up to those commitments. 85%. Which means 15% of you are slackers. And so I'm not sure what happened to you at 15%, but this is your day to catch back up, okay? And so you need to step back up and do that. If you haven't had the opportunity to make that kind of commitment, that video that you just saw, as well as all the information, downloads, pictures, anything that you want to see about the space program is available on our website. You click on that, hit click space program, it takes you to a brand new page. It's decked out with a space theme. There are videos that gives you tours, and you can see everything that we're doing. It answers most of the questions you got. You can download every form, and you can sign up to contribute right there through the website. And so we encourage you to do that. Our goal, if it works well, and we've challenged Florida Baptist Financial Services to help us get our act together and make sure we're ready to go, it is now fall. We would love to put a shovel in the ground on Easter Sunday. That's our goal. Now, been a long road getting from there to here. It's a long road to get there. But that's the next thing around the corner. But more important than all of that stuff, and that is stuff and evidence that God has had his hand in it, the important part of the Church of 434, the people, that's you. And God has used you to bless others. He has used you and brought you to this journey, and he's using you to impact the world around you. And so here at this intersection of 434 and 419, we are committed to touching and changing the world with the love of Christ. And we're going to continue to do that. And so we don't look backwards a lot. I am not that kind of guy. I don't do a whole lot of rearview mirror driving. I love to move forward. If I fail, I'm going to fail forward. If I fall, it's going to be forward. Because the call of Christ is forward. And so we do slow up long enough today, though, to say, it's been a good year, and it has been. And some of you have come and joined the journey even this year, and so we are thrilled that you're here. Some of you have been around, and you remember the days where I started talking about 30 years ago, because you've been around that long. That just means we're just 30 years younger now. And so here we go again. But the journey is on. It is our birthday. We're celebrating today. So every song, everything we talk about is going to thank God for the amazing stuff that he has done. And we look forward to the future that he has for us. If you're really interested in history, we've actually put it together in a few paragraphs. It's available out there on the way out the door if you really want to know that kind of stuff. It's a good story. It's a fun story. And so make sure you pick that up on the way out. Bow your heads and hearts. Let's pray together. Lord, it is a good journey. It's been a journey of surprises. It's been a journey of unexpected twists and turns. It's been a journey where every moment we have seen your hand in it, and we've grabbed that hand and you have led us. There have been some moments that there have been just incredible, explosive moments of joy. There have been some moments that have been devastating, and the heartbreak has been so real, so thick that we thought we'd never make it through. And yet in the midst of it all, you were there. And so here we are at the beginning of a brand new church year and able to look back over 10 years of a ministry here at the church at 434. And it's an understatement to say that you've been good. And as a people, we've done our best to touch heaven, change earth. And we've done our best to be faithful to what it is that you've called us to do and called us to be in the world around us. And so today, we want that to be our testimony. Today, we want that to be the cry of our heart. Today, we want that to be the reason that we're able to celebrate, because you have been faithful. And we desire that not only will we continue to live up to what you expect us to do, but you would help us to dream dreams that go beyond anything we ever dreamed before. That's our prayer on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Of Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, as we take a couple of minutes this morning and we talk about being energized. energized, and we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that may be familiar. We kind of dropped this into the middle of a series we're currently in called Shades, and we'll flip the backdrop next week for you again, and we'll pick back up with that series. But today is a standalone. We're on the holiday weekend. We wanted to take a look back real quick, but also so we can drive ourselves forward and energize ourselves to move into the future that God has for us. And so if you have your Bibles open, this is the verse of the morning, and it's this: I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There was a woman who walked into the bathroom at her home, and as she did, she saw her husband standing on the scales, sucking in his stomach, looking down, and she thought to herself, how silly. I mean, he can't weigh any less by sucking in his stomach. So as she watched him do this, she sarcastically said, that's not going to help. And her husband, without missing a beat, looked back at her and smiled and said, sure it will. It's the only way I can see the numbers. See, there's a moment where time goes by, and it doesn't matter what you do, you can't stop the passing of time. And with the passing of time comes changes. I looked around the room, and I've known some of you guys for 30-some-odd years now. You guys have changed a lot. And I'll be really honest, and I don't hurt your feelings, but some of you gotten older. You look a little older than you did. Now, I know I don't, but you do. You do. As I've told you many times before, this white hair is not natural. I color it. It's smoke black is the color. Smoke black. And I do that so I can connect with you. So as you age, you think I'm aging with you. And so, but you can't stop the passing of time. You can't slow it down. It's going to keep happening. And as you move forward, you have to understand that each yesterday behind us is a day that we can't recover. But the focus for our life has always got to be on today and the tomorrow that God gives us. Because tomorrow is ours to win or lose. And I can promise you, as long as I'm pastor here, we're going to be winners. And we're going to be taking each day as a win. And we're not going to spend a lot of time looking back too long to get ourselves in trouble. But we're going to be looking for the way that we can win the days that God gives us so we can become everything that we were created to be. There's a moment in every television show, if you're a TV fan, that every television show, very few exceptions to this, there's a moment when the TV show begins to go downhill. And you know it when you're watching it. If you're a fan, you know when it happens. Some of you have been around long enough. You remember when Barney Fife left Mayberry? It was never the same after that. Wasn't as funny, wasn't as good. Lucy and Ricky moved from the apartment to the suburbs. They only got one more season after that. Tanked the show, they moved to the suburbs, story ended. Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo used to be my favorite cartoon, right up until one moment. They introduced Scrappy-Doo. Scrappy-Doo, that little ankle-biter dog, was introduced to the Scooby-Doo franchise, and Scooby-Doo couldn't recover. Scooby-Doo was never the same. And then there was that moment in that classic television show, Happy Days, where Andrew Fonzarelli put on a pair of water skis and a black leather jacket and jumped a shark. And in that moment, the phrase, jumping the shark, was injected into American culture. And at that moment, jumping the shark became a catchphrase that has always lingered on the peripheral of culture because it's a moment, a defining moment, when something has reached its peak. And after it's reached its peak, it might continue for a while, but it's never going to be the same. And everybody knows it, whether they're going to admit it or not. And sometimes they talk about it, and sometimes they don't. But when they look back in history, they will look back and say, that's the moment that they jump the shark. I'd love to tell you that ministries are exempt from that. They're not. There are moments that come along in ministry, and if you're not careful, there can be a moment where everything that happens after that moment puts the church and ministry in decline. It could be a great event. It could be a bad event. It could be an individual. It could be an attitude. It could be something that no one saw coming. It can be something that everybody could see coming but ignored. And when that moment hits, it triggers and puts into motion a series of events that follow where the loss of momentum occurs. And whether they knew it or not, the ministry has jumped the shark. And they don't know it until they see the shark fin as it's swimming away from them. And you have to understand something. We don't spend a lot of time here at the church at 434 talking about our glory days. We don't take a whole lot of time and rehash history, and we don't take a whole lot of time and go back and talk about this good moment or this good moment or that bad moment. There are a lot of moments, a lot of moments over 10 years. God's been really good to us. Most of them are good. Been a few heartbreakers, a few failures, but as I said, we always fail forward. But at the end of the day, the moments that we've had, as good as they have been, are not as good as the moments that lie around the corner. And as long as I'm your pastor, I can make you this promise. We will not jump the shark. We are not in the business of shark jumping here at the church at 434. Other churches will, other places do, other people do, but we don't. We do not do it because it's not a part of who we are. It's not a part of our DNA. It's not a part of our culture. Yesterday is a chapter, and that chapter has already been written. Today is a brand new chapter. You got the pen in your hand. And the quest is going to be, what are you going to do with it and what happens next? And so this morning, we're going to look at this one verse and talk about getting energized for a bold tomorrow, because it's in there. There are three statements, three configurations, if you will, of the Christian life that are reminders that for each of us, the best is yet to come. And there are three very strong statements of faith and how we need to live life that are tucked into that text. And so if you are a person who likes to memorize Scripture, if you're a person who's in the habit of memorizing Scripture, this is a good one to memorize. It's one to remember. It's one that will help you at times when life seems to be a little tougher. This will be one that will keep you motivated to move forward. It will remind you of your purpose and the passion that you're supposed to have in life. And they're all part of the text itself. So there's three things. If you have your worship flyer, you can see it there. If the app is open, you can see it there as well. The first one is this. We're going to look at what we've done. Galatians 2:20 tells us the Christian life is a life that is relinquished to Jesus. It begins, I have been crucified with Christ. We're moving to the fall time of year. We're going to end this year, and we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus, and we're going to talk about how Jesus steps into time and space, and how he was a baby that was born to die. And we're going to look at his life, and we're going to get to Easter time. We're going to talk about that Savior that went to the cross for us. We'll take some moments where we're going to remember how he hung on that cross. We're going to see the blood. We're going to see the sweat. Might cry a few tears. We're going to see that same Savior put into a tomb, and 3 days later come back resurrected and alive. And we remember what Jesus said, and they're powerful words, that you must take up your cross daily and follow me. What he's saying is powerful. What he's saying is intense. And sometimes we as followers don't always realize that that's what we've done. But in that moment that you make that decision to believe and trust and follow Jesus, you have made a decision to do what he said. And what he said was that you will take up your cross daily and follow him. That means that you are going to crucify yourself to live for him. Which means that each day you get up, you're going to make a conscious choice of the mind, of the heart, to say, this day is not about me and this day is not mine. I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to be willing to be crucified with him, crucify what I want to do, what my plan is for his plan. And he does have the best plan. I'm going to take my life and yield my life to him so that I can become everything that my creator created me to be. That goes beyond your feelings. That goes beyond your want list. That goes beyond what the people around you might encourage you to do or not do. You're making a choice that I'm going to give this day back to the man who gave it to me, my Savior. And I'm going to give that day to him, and I'm going to be everything I can be on this day. So whatever was going to happen this day is going to be his, not mine. And then tomorrow I'm going to do it all over again. That's what we've done. So today we're at the end of 10 years here at the Church of 434. And to our best ability, we have really strove to do that. Mark this down. I learned a new word today. All right. We've tried our best to do that. Like mine better. And we're going to continue to do that in the days ahead, because that becomes how we're called to live. Being crucified with Christ, that's our place of beginning. That's our starting point. When James Calvert went as a missionary to the cannibals in the Fiji Islands, the captain of the boat tried to talk him and the team that he brought with him out of going. The captain said, "You're going to lose your life and the life of those with you if you start living among those savages." And Calvert replied, "We died before we came here." I mean, I know it's a dark kind of question, but did you die before you walked in the door this morning? Because if you made a decision this morning to take up your cross and follow Jesus, you died this morning, whether you realize it or not. And so now you're living the eternal life that God has called you to live. And you're called to live every day for him. And who better to ask you to give it to him than the one who created the day? You don't have to like it. And here's the deal. And you can talk to God about this. I'm going to make a deal for you. If you've decided that there's a day that is better lived by you, for you, than by him and for him, go make your own day and do that. I mean, go create your own day. Don't borrow the day he created. You don't get the luxury of the sun coming up tomorrow. You have to figure that out on your own. You don't get the luxury of how you're going to take your next breath. You got to go figure that out on your own. You don't get the luxury of figuring out how this earth is going to spin. You have to figure that out on your own. And when you can figure that out and you can maintain it, then and only then are you qualified to claim the day. Anybody in the room want to sign up for that? Anybody in the room think you can do that? Because at the end of the day, you can't. And so the one who gave you the day has said, this is how you are to live the day. And how you're to live the day is to be crucified with Christ. In other words, you make a commitment. When you make a commitment to Jesus, you make a commitment to go all in. And you're going to go all in with everything that you have and then some. See, when you came in the door this morning, there into the room to the right, there's called it a mission control video. We gave you an opportunity, and some of you take advantage of that already, to talk about what we've done, where we've been, what the church means to you, what God has done in your life because you've been here as a part of this place. And it's a quick process. And if you haven't done that yet, as soon as we're done with worship, you have the opportunity to do that again. You have the opportunity to share what the church at 434 means to you. The reason we're doing that is because we think it's important to track where we've been. We don't make light of it. It is a part of the journey. And so take your time and just stick your head in the door. Take a couple minutes and do that. It will be quick. It's painless. What we're going to do with them? Well, you're going to see them again later. We'll create a montage. Some of it will be used on social media. You'll be a TV star. But that's what we've done. And God has had us on an incredible journey because we've given every day to him. The second thing you need to see is what we do. What we do. The verse says this: it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. At the beginning of a new year, the high school principal decided to ask his teachers to create a set of resolutions, hopes, dreams for the new year. And so the day before school started, as the teachers were there on campus, last day they would be together before the onslaught of students hit, he posted all their resolutions up on a big bulletin board back there in the teacher's lounge area so they could all see it and look at it and enjoy it. As he did, as teachers gathered around to read it, he began to hear a commotion. He was wondering what the commotion was about. He tried to ignore it, but the commotion was getting louder and somebody was upset. So he went up there to find out what was going on. And as they were looking, and one of the teachers was saying, "Why weren't my resolutions for the year posted?" And the principal defended himself a little bit. He said, "Well, I posted them all up there, and they're looking, no, mine aren't up here." And she was really upset, visibly upset, just really torqued about it. And so he said, "Well, maybe I screwed up." So he went scooting back to his office to see if he'd messed up. And he got to his office, and sure enough, on his desk was this teacher's resolutions that inadvertently he had forgot to post. So he grabbed it so he could run out there and tag it to the bulletin board until he looked down at it and read the first resolution: "I'm not going to let little things upset me this school year." See, we have great intentions. We all do. But as we've shared with you so many times, it's direction, not intention, that gets you to your destination. And so in our lives, what we do and what we do continually is we keep setting the direction each and every day so that we can become the person that we were created to be. That is what we do. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In other words, the direction for our life is the direction that he sets for us. If you've got any other direction, you're going to be in trouble. And that direction matters, and that direction counts. And setting that direction is a spiritual act of obedience. And so when I look back over the past year, there's been growth, and there's events, and there's new stuff, and old stuff, and people who have come, and people who have gone. But at the end of the day, in essence, what we have tried to do each and every moment is discover the excitement and adventure of living for Jesus for one reason and one reason only, so we can touch and change the world with the love of Christ. That is our mission statement and vision statement. That's it. And tomorrow we're going to do the same thing again. And tomorrow we're going to do the same thing again. And a week from now we're going to do the same thing again. It's not going to change because we've built that on a biblical model that we think God has called us to do. Is it the way everyone else does it? No. And to be honest with you, I'm glad. Because we're in the process of trying to get you to go through this life change, life transformation process. And we're going to create moments that will hopefully will help you do that in very unique ways and powerful ways that you can't do anything else. Is it always flashy? No. Is it always easy? Maybe not. But over the years, we have discovered that God has taken that and he has blessed that and he has allowed us to take a journey together that is unique and radically different. See, a lot of folks in church life say, "Well, that's not how it used to be. I miss that." Nah, I don't. A lot of people in church life say, "Well, this is how we've always done it." Yeah, so what? I do a lot of things differently now than I used to do them. Some people will say, "Well, but we've always done it this way before." And you know what? It's okay. But things do need to change from time to time. And I'll tell you, I'll make an honest admission to you. When this new church year started and we changed midweek for the first time in 10 years here, but in 30 years of ministry, to me, I had problems with that. Because it was one of those moments where I had to put what I believed and where I thought the call of God was and kind of get my heart and my mouth and my head all in the same order. Because everything in me said, "Well, core group's not broken." But I had to come to grips with the fact that it's not accomplishing what we wanted to accomplish. So how do you take the best parts of it, keep the best parts, but how do you add to it and make it something more so it can become something that isn't right now? Because at the end of the day, we want you to discover the excitement and adventure of living for Jesus. We want you to do that. That's what it's designed to do. So we blew it up. We blew it up. And we're now at week four of that first rotation. You can see parts of it online. It's gone pretty well, been fun. We're still working out the kinks, but we're having a good time. And it's fresh and it's new, but it also builds on what we've done that worked well. Hopefully it's made it a little bit better. It will continue to make it better and allows us to inject some things that we never did before in brand new ways and exciting ways. Why? Because that was then. This is now. My favorite basketball coach uses this phrase, coach your team. Yeah, that sounds really simple, right? But see, I've been around ministry a long time, and I can tell you that pastors and staff members sometimes will moan and groan because, well, I don't have the talent in my church to do that, or I don't have the people in my church to do that, or I don't have the personnel in my church to do that. We're too small. We're too big. We're too in the country. We're too in the city. I mean, there's always an excuse. And every pastor conference that I've ever done where I was on the docket to speak, inevitably out of my mouth has come this phrase, coach your team. Coach the people that Jesus brings into your midst and then take that team and grow that team into the team that you want. And if you're not a good enough coach to do that, then resign, get out of the way and quit. You're done. Go home. And you would be amazed at how startling that is to pastors. And how that's a novel concept, but it's not. I look around this room, and I look around this room, and I looked at 9, I look again at 11, 15. This is the team that God has assembled in this place, at this intersection of 434 and 419, to reach this world with the love of Jesus. This is the team. And together, if we are willing to grow and allow him to take us and change us, we will do exactly what we were created to do. And we will grow and become a better team and a stronger team, and more people will come and join the team, but we will accomplish what it is that we were created to do. Yes. That's who we are. And we're going to do that each and every day. And we're going to take our past and we're going to build off of it. We'll celebrate the past, no doubt about it. But we're going to use those moments and those memories and experiences to create the future. So this morning on the left-hand side of the building, when you came in, we were taking liftoff photos. Picture of yourself. And giving you an opportunity to be a part of our church directory, which is now on an app. See, I grew up in the days of the Olin Mills church directories. Those are dark days, I tell you. They're dark days. No, I mean, if you work for Olin Mills, I'm sorry. But my gosh, working with Olin Mills was so difficult. And not because they made it difficult, it's just hard. It's hard to coordinate all the people, hard to give them times to get in and shoot pictures. I mean, it was just crazy. And you ever notice those old church pictures? They all look the same. They all look the same. Now, some of you, I know, have in your house pictures from Olin Mills of church pictures that are still hanging on the wall. God bless you. That's awesome. That's great. I'm glad for you. I've seen those, man. I think there's one in the house I grew up in still hanging on the wall, you know. I'm the best looking guy in that picture. But it's there. It's hanging there, you know. And that's how we used to do things. But we don't have to do things like that anymore. Even when we started as a ministry at Covenant Community Church, we started doing our own booklet. Well, man, what a pain in the keister that was. Just trying, it's like herding cats, trying to get you guys in to have a picture made, get signed up to have a picture made, give us your information. And you know what we found out? As soon as we printed it, it was out of date. As soon as we printed it, because somebody had left, somebody else had come, you hand them the book and there's not everybody's not in it. We now have this thing called an app. Because most of you have phones that are smarter than you. We have a church directory on an app now. And you can actually see a picture of the people so you can learn their names. Because how often you look at someone and go, I don't know who that is. But you open up that app and you start scrolling through. And if they put their picture in the app, you gotcha, I know who you are now. And then you say, well, I want to call them or text them, but I don't have their number. It's in that app. And then all you have to do is push. This is crazy, right? You push their number and it opens up and you can text right away. It's a miracle. And then you want another number. Now you have an option. You can do what some of you do. You can call the church. Hey, can you give me so-and-so's number? to hear us say with love, do you have the app? Well, no, you need the app. Because then I don't have to answer this question for you. But because I love you, here's the number, get the app. And I'm sure someone has gotten offended by that. But at the end of the day, we try to put it all in your hands. Because that's who we are right now. That's the team that we have on the journey. And so take a moment on the way out the door. Get your picture taken. Give us the information. We got two computers that are working that gets you signed up. We can do it pretty quick. We want to know that. We want to get a hold of you. We want to be able to stay in contact. We want you to know who's around. And that's why we're doing that this morning. Because it fits in to what we do right now in this moment. This is the team we have. Which brings me to the third thing. What we will keep doing. It says, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Look at that verse. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Two key phrases. I now live, I live by faith. In other words, who we're going to be tomorrow, what we're going to continue to do is we're going to continue to live and we're going to live by faith. And we're going to trust that God is going to do in us what he wants to do and create in us the person that we were created to be. Years ago, Coach Jordan at Auburn University used to be so concerned with how people said his name that there was actually a sentence in the media guide that told you how to pronounce Jordan. Apparently in the Deep South, people like to say Jordan. He would point it out that it was like the river Jordan in the Bible. That's actually what it put in the media guide. So you would always know how to say his last name, Coach Jordan. Coach Jordan at Auburn University asked his former linebacker, Mike Collin, who was playing for the Miami Dolphins, if he would help his alma mater do some recruiting. Mike said, sure, Coach, what kind of player are you looking for? Coach George said, Mike, you know, there's that fella. You knock him down, he just stays down. Mike said, that's not the guy we want, right, Coach? Coach said, that's right, Mike, we don't want him. But you know, there's also that other fella that you knock him down and he gets up and you knock him down again, and the second time he stays down. Mike said, Coach, we don't want him either, do we? Coach George said, no, Mike, we don't want him. But there's a fellow that you knock him down, he gets up. 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 And Mike said, Coach, that's the guy we want, right, Coach? And Coach said, no, Mike. I want the guy that keeps knocking everybody down. And I want you to understand that when you're called to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you're the person that's knocking everybody down. You're going to fall. You're going to get back up. But you need to get into the mindset that we are world changers, world shifters. We'll knock down walls. We'll do what it takes, whatever it takes, so that we can knock down the doors and blow out the message of Jesus to a world that is desperate to hear it. We want to be the people that are knocking others over. We want to be the people that are getting out the word. We want to be the people that are touching and changing the world with the love of Christ. We want to be the world changers. I would love for each one of us to live our lives and be like they were described in the book of Acts. Those who have turned the world upside down are now in our midst. What an incredible compliment that would be. Turning your world upside down for the cause of Christ. Turning your world upside down with the love of Jesus. Turning your world upside down because we are moving into the future. Will you get knocked down? Of course you will. Get back up. But if in your life you find yourself moving forward, you're going to discover that you have opportunities that go far beyond anything you ever dreamed you could be, and God will use you in ways that you never thought possible if you're willing to be obedient. So I look back over the past year, and it's been a wild, crazy year here. Great year. A lot of ups, a lot of downs, good times, fantastic year. I'm going to remember, I'm going to learn from the lessons that were there. But I'm not going to worship the year that was, and I would never worship the old days. I have to worship the Heavenly Father who called me to live in this moment and live it to the fullest so that tomorrow I'll be ready for that next moment that he gives me, and I'll get it right. So no shark jumping is allowed. You have to follow the call of Christ and be energized and ready to live tomorrow, because every single sunrise whispers to you, you still have more to do. You still have more to give. You still have more to become. And our destiny is not waiting in the past. It's calling us from ahead, and the Savior has said, follow me. And each morning we get to look up into the eyes of a Savior who is urging us to come and get it. Come and get it. Dare to live the life I created for you and come get what I have for you today. And we'll follow him and we'll chase him and we will become everything he created for us to be. And then tomorrow we'll do it all over again. That's how we will surge into this new year. That's how we'll surge into the future together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we find ourselves at an amazing intersection. Where we're located is at the intersection of major thoroughfares here in Seminole County. But we're also at a major intersection of our lives. Because the intersection we're at right now is the intersection between yesterday and tomorrow. And so we desire to be faithful here in the intersection so that we can take the next step of faith that you have for us. And so, Lord, I ask this morning, you would solidify that in our minds and hearts and allow this verse to become a verse that we would anchor to in the days ahead. There are some in this room, some who are watching online. They may have never made the decision to believe and trust and follow Jesus. And so for them, the next step forward is to make that decision, the choice of the head and the heart, to accept your gift of love and decide that they are going to take seriously the call to follow and that they're going to take seriously the invitation for you to come and see what you're going to do next. Lord, if you're in this room, I pray that before they leave, they would simply give us a worship response page and check that little spot that says, I want to accept Jesus as Savior, and drop it in the giving kiosk on the way out the door. Lord, for those watching online that need to make that decision, I pray that they would just send an email to the address that's on the screen. Just say, I believe, I trust, I follow Jesus. What do I do now? And give us a chance to come alongside them and encourage them and hopefully share with them some things that will help them in their journey. But Lord, for a lot of us in the room, we've made that choice. And we've had a great year. We have some memories of the year. Some things we would like to change. Other things we would do exactly the same. But at the end of the day, we don't get do-overs. And so as we take inventory of our life, help us to take inventory and know that you've been in our midst and you've never forgotten us and you have been faithful. And you've called us to be faithful. And we embrace that, and we want more than anything else to please you. And we want to surge into the tomorrow that you have for us. We can, because we're never alone. Help us to remember that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.